There are times during surgery when you discover a way to make things easier or more efficient. Sometimes there are through our own quicksand moments. Others are surgical gems gifted to us by our mentors and peers. This is OQC Eureka Moments with Drs. Nicole Fram and Elizabeth Yu, where we learn how to pivot, reflect, and evolve as surgeons. Hey, welcome everyone. It is episode number 2 of season 3, OQC Eureka Moments. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Yu, and you know the one and only.
I'm Dr. Nicole Fram, and we're so excited to continue with season 3, which will focus on those moments we take away from the quicksand cases and allow us to kind of come out of the dark and really kind of give you these exciting moments to take with you in surgery.
And as you know, there's always those points in surgery, either through our own experiences or by chance, where we discover ways to make things easier or more efficient. And we want to help share these techniques that help speed our learning curve or have been passed down, these gems that have been gifted to us through mentors and our peers.
So Liz, I feel like when we thought about doing this, the goal of the podcast was just to make us better surgeons through shared experiences. That's why we go to conferences. That's why we do everything that we do. But every time I do one of the maneuvers that I've learned from a colleague or a mentor, I literally think of that person while I'm doing it and I smile.
You are not kidding. And you know what? Like, I think of that person. And then like in the last 2 years, I'm like, this is like not quicksand. This is the
opposite,
like Shazam.
Yeah.
It's the good stuff. This is like the, I've gotten my goodies out or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But goodies. You know, so like, I mean, so that's what this season 3 is about, you know?
Right.
So as a reminder, Eureka Moments and this season will be available as before through video and audio podcasts. You can listen through your favorite platform and watch us again on YouTube. And at the end of this podcast, we would love for you to fill out the short survey in the description below in order to help us understand what you find valuable so that we can integrate this into our future episode, as this is still, as we mentioned before, a living organism. And finally, we are going to have a live OQC Eureka Moments at the ASCRS annual meeting on Sunday, May 7th in the tap room at 2:30 p.m.
So please come.
Yes. And this time, guess what time it is, Nicole?
Is it sponsor time?
Yeah, it is.
All right, it's sponsor time. Do the dance.
Sponsor time.
Do the dance.
Sponsor time.
All right,
let's go. Thank you to Dimatrix. Dimatrix is so well known. Thank you for all of the wonderful instruments that you guys are known for. The diamond knives, the expand iris speculum, as well as the only guarded reusable metal blade on the market. And we really appreciate the fact that you have partnerships and working with committed surgeons like Dr. Morgan Micheletti. And I love this amazing instrument that you have created to help us with dislocated IOLs. So the Micheletti IOL punch is designed with a patented microtrephine tip, which allows us to place a hole in the IOL without externalizing the lens implant that is dislocated within the eye. There are two methods used to punch the haptic, which helps to manage the tip, the tilt of the IOL, or creating a hole at the optic-haptic junction. And the next step would be to pass a polypropylene suture through the hole and then create a new haptic to fixate the existing IOL to the sclera. It's fantastic. So the Micheletti IOL punch is a great tool to have on the shelf. It's especially useful in those dislocated lenses, polypropylene haptics, mostly premium lenses that are already in the eye. So this device has been especially helpful who currently have those lenses that you can maintain in the eye that have become displaced.
And so why wait? I mean, I remember when Morgan showed us the prototype of this, and it is through that partnership that we have advancements and innovations. So thank you so much to Dimatrix. upgrade your cataract surgery toolkit today with the Micheletti IOL Punch. Check out the IOL Punch by visiting diamatrix.com or visit booth 1211. That's 1211 at ASCRS in San Diego.
Thank you so much for your support, Diamatrix. And now it is time for our Eureka moment.
Who's our guest?
Dr. Priya Narang, one of the most fabulous surgeons, the most admired surgeons. I mean, and I learned so much from her absolutely all the time. Every single meeting that I go to, I am looking for Dr. Narang in order to learn from her. Dr. Priya Narang is the director of the Narang Eye Care and Laser Center in Ahmedabad. She has, I mean, various publications does not even do her justice. Numerous to hundreds of publications in peer-reviewed and non-peer-reviewed journals. She's contributed so much as it comes to the world of cataract complex lens-based, trying to fix lens-based issues, and books published by JP and Slack Publications. She has a blog to her credit in OSN or Ocular Surgery News, where complex and challenging cataract cases are highlighted with postage of short videos of surgical scenarios. And obviously, as it relates to, education and how she teaches exponentially and gives of her time through volunteerism to audiences, and how she helps patients globally by teaching other surgeons. That level of commitment that she has is just incredible. Dr. Fram, wouldn't you agree?
I mean, so speaking of commitment, I had the privilege of being part of her course for many years at ASCRS and AAO. And, you know, she is the best educator that I have seen in these course environments, because she really explains things really well. She's a reviewer to the International Journal of Ophthalmology, the Journal of Cataract and Refractive Surgery, which is a flagship journal of ASCRS. And also she reviews for many top international peer-reviewed journals. She's recently published a book titled Management of Phaco Complications, Newer Techniques. This is how she looks at ophthalmology. She pushes the boundary and wants to continue to innovate. It's a comprehensive book that states all the latest techniques which are necessary to deal with these complicated scenarios following a posterior capsule rupture. The foreword of the books has also been penned down by Dr. Arthur Cummings. So Priya, thank you so much for being here. It really is an honor for us.
Thank you so much. And I'm so honored to be here. And I have such two intelligent and beautiful ladies in front of me. I really feel so delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
That's great. And we just want to remind the audience that this pod webcast is all about taking those quicksand moments and turning them into these eureka moments, these moments where we're going to be better surgeons because of the experience we've had from the past, and make things easier and more efficient during surgery. So Priya, please share with us your eureka moments that are going to make us better surgeons.
Thank you so much, Nicole and Liz. So today I'm going to show you this sneak of the flanges. Now, as you see this video, it's a case of an aphakia. And in certain circumstances, we do not get 30 gauge needle, and we also do not get the specific PVDF haptics, three-piece intraocular lens. So this is a technique which I try to work out with. And as you see here, we have created marks like we do in a Yamane, which is about 2 millimeters away from the sclera. And this is a three-piece intraocular lens. This is an animation which is describing the technique. Here we have created a flange, and after creating this flange, we have just compressed it. So it's called as riveting, and that is what we do for the leading and also for the trailing half. This is slightly different from what has been originally described by Yamane. In this technique, we are working with the markings which are just similar to the Yamane's method, but what goes differently is that we try to work up with a three-piece sensor intraocular lens, because PVDF haptics are not widely available in our part of the country. So this Here, I'm also using a 26 gauge needle, which is easily available. And this is the three-piece intraocular lens, which has been loaded and it is injected inside. And we just try to thread it directly into the leading haptic, directly into the barrel of the 26 gauge needle. This was described by Brian Kim initially. So I try to use this method. It works beautifully. Now, actually, when you have this leading haptic, which has come out, we just try to create a flange with a low temp cautery as it has been originally described. What is being done differently is that, you know, we try to compress this. It forms a rivet, and that is, it makes the flange comparatively wider because the scientific fact is that, you know, the track created by a 26 gauge needle is comparatively wider as compared to that of a 30 gauge TSK needle. So we do this to prevent the slippage inside. The another thing is that, you know, once we have done this for the leading haptic, we just push the haptic back into its original place. So what happens is that the trailing haptic also comes back into its original orientation. And then we try to externalize the trailing haptic, which actually becomes very much easier because it does not further move into the reverse direction. It's originally inclined into its original position. And maneuvering the trailing haptic also becomes very easy. So once we do this again for the trailing haptic also, and this is how the flanges are created and they are riveted and they're just pushed back into the scleral pocket. You just have to take care that you have buried this comparatively well as shown in the anterior segment OCT image where you see it to be embedded very well. This is another clinical video where you have a three-piece intraocular, I mean, you have this intra one-piece IOL and you need to explant this. So once having explanted this, again, I'm trying to use the similar method to go ahead and, you know, do the handshake riveting technique for fixing up the three-piece intraocular lens. Specifically, we do this when we have the sensor three-piece intraocular lens. That's what we use widely in our part. And this is what, you know, it can even be done globally because PVDF haptics are not available everywhere. So this actually, it really works very well. And it's very easy to do this. And you do not need anything specific or, you know, specific is not needed for this thing because this is very widely available everywhere across the globe. So this is what I just wanted to describe. That, you know, in case of not having a PVDF haptic, you can use a three-piece intraocular lens with the PMMA haptics. And this is how we go ahead and create a rivet and it prevents the slippage of the haptic back into the eye. So that's the basic concept behind doing this technique.
Priya, that it's just genius because I think that what happens is, you know, we try and teach a technique and it's like, you have to have a 30 gauge TSK needle and you have to have the PVDF haptics. And that's not necessarily what's always available, not necessarily what's right for that patient. The one area that I think there are a lot of people using 27 gauge trocars, and that creates a tunnel that requires a much bigger flange. Yeah. In order to stay. And this is like the exact, like if that's your technique and you're doing direct grabbing of the haptic through the 27 gauge trocar, this is going to change everything for those people that are doing that technique. Absolutely. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And even with a PVDF, so the PVDF is what's on the CT Lucia.
Yes.
And with that IOL, I use a high temp cautery. And with that, even if you go in more than once with a 30 gauge needle, it's going to stretch it out a little bit. So, you know, talking a little, you can see that it can make it more challenging to kind of go through. If you go through more than once, then it can almost slip through kind of quickly. So the riveting technique, Priya, I mean, Dr. Nering, when I saw that, I just said, oh my gosh, like the heavens just opened up for me because I realized I don't need a low temp cautery. I felt extremely comfortable saying, I feel really good making a bigger mushroom cap because the riveting gave me that extra confidence in knowing that even if the patient rubbed their eye, even if I made a bigger bulb, I can rivet and it's going to give a better anchor because it does create a wider area as well. And just like you mentioned, if we use a 27 gauge, like you were talking about, Dr. Fram, and a lot of people are doing different techniques where they're, even Dr. Marjan Farid was talking mm-hmm. about using like a 27 gauge trocar, 27 yeah. gauge, 26 gauge needles, the track is bigger.
Yes.
So Right. So you have to have a better method than leaving a gigantic flange subconj. And I know that, I mean, we're like, you know, my partner always says everybody's flange happy. And I think we are flange happy, but we are in desperate need to make our flanges go intrascleral. And that's what's so great. One, after your first video, you showed an OCT that showed that it was intrascleral within the scleral tunnel, not subconj. Absolutely. And I think it's really important to emphasize that. And that was Shin Yamani's original publication. Flanges were never intended, according to his publication, to be subconjunctival.
Yes.
And so that's the evolution and where we need to go with these techniques. And I think the riveting technique of just, I'm gonna dumb it down for everyone. Smush that haptic, you know, with the needle flatten holder is great. But I don't, flatten and smush, but I don't understand what it's gonna look like with the PVDF haptic. Have you looked at that? Like, what does it do with the mushroom cap versus the PMMA, which is what you've shown, which is on the sensor? Go ahead. Have you tried it with a PVDF?
No, we haven't tried it. I haven't because I have never used a PVDF haptic.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll try it next week.
Sure.
Liz will try it next week and we'll send you some pictures to see if we can do that. But, you know, I just think that there are times where they're like, oh, sorry, we don't have a 30 gauge thin wall needle.
Absolutely.
And, you know, or you tested it. And with the PMMA haptic, you got to be right, like in the most perfect angulation for it to go in without kinking it. So some people prefer a 27 gauge instead of the 30 gauge thin wall.
Yes.
And so this gives those people that flexibility, and maybe you won't have as much kinking of the haptic, particularly the trailing haptic, if you could just use a larger bore needle.
Absolutely.
And the riveting, would you agree, it does slip in a little better, more easily into the track, but it anchors well too, versus having the mushroom.
Absolutely. It anchors very well into the scleral track. The only thing I would just like to add a teaching point to this is that suppose in case if you have a much more bigger one riveted and you somewhere down the line that, okay, it might be seen in the subcon space, then the only thing that you can do at that point is that, you know, in the scleral wall, you can just, you know, try to create a small passage kind of thing and just make sure that goes inside. I mean, it's there in the scleral wall.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've had to do this a lot with the mushroom cap because it's like this fine line. You're like, I want to make it the flange big enough so it won't slip through, but then I don't want to make it too big because then I can't get it in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So Shin Yamani taught me that if you just take a 30 gauge needle right next to your track and just enlarge it a little bit, you can get in there. The other reason why these flanges will look good at the time of surgery and then not look good a month later is because they're caught up in tenons. So it's super important, in my opinion, to just cut down with a buttonhole and make sure you're actually in the sclera.
Great. That's right. Absolutely. That's very important because otherwise it would serve as a track from, you know, connecting the anterior chamber with the outside world, with the environment. So you need to get that properly tucked inside.
Yeah, no. And I think this will change things for, you know, people are flanging Ahmed segments and people are flanging IOLs. And I think this is going to change the approach to making sure that we can get these things within the scleral tunnel.
Yeah. And what I like about it is that it is universally applicable. Anybody can do it. You don't need anything specific for it.
Right. Right. And that those are the best techniques, right? It's just like, you know, it's like an episode of Chopped. Like, what do I have in the room? Okay, I'm going to make dinner with that. Right. So it's like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And I love the accessibility. And that's, you know, you've always been able to take the most complex situation and make it accessible to everyone. So we really, really appreciate you sharing this eureka moment with everyone.
Thank you so much.
This is great. Thank you so much, Dr. Nering.
Thank you.
So thank you all for listening to this episode of OQC Eureka Moments. We hope that sharing these techniques will help speed the learning curve and pass these gems down that have been gifted to us by our mentors to you. and we want you to enjoy them.
And please remember to email us at quicksandchronicles@ascrs.org with any questions, feedback, and comments. And don't forget to fill out the brief survey below. Also, remember to catch us live for Quicksand Chronicles Eureka Moments at the ASCRS annual meeting on Sunday, I think, what is it, May 7th at 2:30 p.m. In the tap room. We would love to have you stop by.
And Liz, who's coming? Who are sharing their Eureka Moments?
Dr. Zaina Amontasab and Dr. Brandon Ayers, and yes, they are phenomenal.
Yeah, you know they won't disappoint. They will not disappoint.
No.
And just remember that every time you think you have the eyeball figured out, it's going to humble you.
But we hope that these collective experiences will help us all develop grace under pressure. Thank you, and we will see you next time. Peace.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this episode of OQC Eureka Moments with Drs. Nicole Fram and Elizabeth Yu. Hindsight really is 2020.